Good morning, church. Yeah, my name is Brian. My wife, Claire, and I have the privilege of leading one of the life groups at Harbor Landing. And this morning, I'm honored to be sharing with you God's Word. Pastor Andrew started the service by reading one of the verses that the psalmist talks about. But I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And one of the things that excites me every week is Sunday mornings, because I get to come to church and I get to take coffee, tea, right? Yeah, the coffee ministry do a great job to put smiles on our faces, but that's not the reason why I come to church. I come to church because I get to listen to an encouraging message and what God has to say. It's also great for me to just interact with people when I come to church. So, but believe it or not, the Sundays I've come here to church with a lot on my mind. And I've actually wondered, what are you doing here? And I know there are some other folks out there as well who come to church with a lot on their minds. You know? You could probably be here, and right now you're already wondering, looking at your phone saying, when is the service getting done so that I can go out and get on with my business? You know, you could be here, and as a matter of fact, you're struggling at work with meeting your targets. Or maybe you have a sick child at home, and you're wondering, who is going to help me nurse this child of mine as I go to work? Maybe you're running late on your mortgage. It's a struggle. Maybe your family is even falling apart and you're wondering how you can put your family together. You could actually be here and you're struggling with thoughts of inadequacy. The struggle is real. I want to read you a quote written by Leon Podolsky. He says, Christianity is indeed a great war and a great struggle with Satan, with ourselves and also with God. The scriptures offer many examples of struggle. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Paul kicking against the pricks as he struggled with the Lord, Abraham bargaining with God over the fate of Sodom, Jacob wrestling with God, and Mary asking, how can this be? Before saying, let it be. So from this quote, it's evident that the people who have gone before us, who have had to deal with different challenges in their lives. Life can sometimes be very unbearable. It can be shaky. And that can move us to a place where we start to feel insecure. You start asking yourself, will God come through for me? Maybe you even start doubting whether God exists. If that's you, then this message is for you. I'm here to remind you and encourage you that God hears and answers prayer. The Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors and we are safe in His hands. Now, safety isn't the absence of struggles, but it's the ability for us to navigate challenges in our lives by the grace of God. We keep our eyes focused on God and God helps us overcome these challenges. Today I bring you a message entitled Safe in the Father's Hands. And maybe like me, the word father does not bring back our fond memories. You could be suffering still the effects of what your father said or did. The father I want to bring to you today is one who loves you. Pastor Natoli shared with us a message when he talked about the kiss of a father. And one of the things that he highlighted in his message is that God loves us and we are known by Him. He loves us irrespective of what we have done. And that is the father I want to talk to you this morning about. One who loves us, one who has wonderful plans for us. Let us pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to freely come into your presence. We ask that this morning you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, because you tell us in your word that where two or more people are gathered in your name, there you are, Lord. And we believe that you're here, Lord. And so right now, we just choose to open up our hearts and we invite you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read from Mark chapter 4. I'll read verse 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling, but he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, this was the first time that Jesus was headed into Gentile territory. He had never been there. And he had told his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." And all of a sudden, they were hit by this storm. One of the lessons for me is, sometimes God will tell us to do certain things, but that does not mean that we won't face any challenges. God had clearly spoken to the disciples, and they were living in obedience. That is when they encountered this storm that they had to deal with. And so they started crying to Jesus, asking him to help them. I find it interesting that Jesus was sleeping during this storm. And I just kept thinking about that, how you sleep in a storm, you know, like amidst all this. Jesus awoke, and we are told that he calmed the storm. And I just want to encourage you that when you're going through a storm, just like Jesus was in the storm with these people, God promises to be with us in our storms. And that should be our encouragement, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Today, with our technology, we are in position to detect if a storm will happen a day, 2 days before it even happens. I remember at the beginning of this week, I received an alert on my phone warning me of a storm that was going to happen. Like, you receive some of those like way before, but in Jesus' day, they had no technology. But they were still in position to tell if a storm was going to happen. As a matter of fact, one time Jesus told his disciples that when you see a cloud rising on the west, you say, "It is going to shower." And it actually showers. The people were in position to tell that, you know, there might be a storm, rain, and things like that. Then you might ask me, then how come that on this particular occasion, the disciples were not in position to tell that there was a storm, a windstorm that was going to come? And the reason is, the Sea of Galilee is located in the Afro-Arabian Rift Valley. And it's surrounded by mountains like Ebal, the Golan Heights. Now, what normally happens is when the wind blows over the mountains, the wind will cause the cool air to come and mix with the warm air that's on the sea. And that will create favorable conditions for a sudden storm to occur. And that is what happened in this case. And so they were afraid. They could not tell that it was coming. They started crying out to God for help. And Jesus came to their rescue. Now, these people, some of the disciples here on this boat were actually experienced fishermen. They were sea masters. They had made a livelihood out of fishing. But here they were scared because of this storm, this windstorm that was already filling their boat. And so they cried out to God. And Jesus was in position to help them. Friends, there are situations in our lives that not even our experience, not even our expertise, not even our efforts will save us except the name of Jesus Christ. We can always rely on Jesus Christ to help us. When Jesus awoke from his sleep and he calmed that storm, that moved the disciples from being fearless to hopefulness, because they knew that Jesus was actually their solution. Jesus had calmed the storm. And I want to tell you that there is nothing impossible with God. And I know sometimes we say it and it sounds like cliche, but that's the truth. Jesus Christ is there amidst every trouble that we go through. So what should my response be when I'm faced with a storm? And I just have a few thoughts that I'll be sharing with you, but I just want to remind you about what Pastor Joel shared with us, I think 2 weeks back, maybe earlier, when he talked about Jesus. In his message, he told us that before Jesus left, he told his disciples, "I am going away, but I'll send you a helper." And then later on, Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit. He told us that the Jesus inside us is greater than the Jesus, is better than the Jesus who was beside the disciples. And I remember him clearly saying that even though these disciples enjoyed fellowship with Jesus, there was always some measure of distance. But when we have Jesus inside us, like every believer right now has Jesus inside them, that is better than having Jesus just beside us. Now, I know that even though I have Jesus inside me, sometimes storms are going to come and I will still be scared. I will forget that Jesus is with me. But how should I respond when I'm faced with a storm? And I'm going to share a few thoughts with you this morning and I'll be done. And the first one is we need to cry out to him. Verse 38 says, "He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" Now, this was before Jesus had ever calmed any storm. The disciples went to him and they told him that, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" And Jesus became their solution. The disciples, even though he had never come in a storm, they somehow had it within them that Jesus is in position to calm this storm. And what does this tell me? This tells me that there are situations in our lives, even if God has never performed a miracle in that area, we can trust him. We can take those issues to him and Jesus will help us. If you're going through a crisis in your work, take it to God. If you're going through a crisis in your family, take it to God. If you're going through a faith crisis in the things that you believe, take it to God. I believe God will help you. Just tell your neighbor, take it to God. God has the ability to help us. And so he awoke and he calmed the storm and he delivered these people from this storm. Now, the Bible talks about different instances where God delivered people. Like when the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt from the hand of Pharaoh. When Daniel was delivered from the lion's den because he kept seeking God. When, when you just look at us, Jesus Christ has delivered everyone from sin. So what do you do whenever you're faced with a storm? You just need to cry out to God. So whatever your storm is today, I just want to encourage you to cry out to God. One of the things that I enjoyed doing when I was in Uganda was going on mission trips. And I belonged to a youth group, and we traveled to different places in and out of Uganda on buses, sharing the gospel. I always looked forward to those moments. And one time, I remember I met a pastor from Zambia at a conference who invited me over to go to Zambia and share the gospel. And I was so excited about this. I got my air ticket ready for the day. But I don't know how many of you know that sometimes you don't just look at the expiration dates on your document, like on your passport, on your license. Like, so I went to the airport. I mean, the first night I missed my flight. But then, so I looked for money and I got another air ticket because I was determined to go. So the next day, as a matter of fact, I was among the first people on the line. Now, at that point, I had never flown out of my country. I'd been out of the country using the bus, but I'd never taken a plane. So I was the first person on the line. And when I got to the counter, they asked me for my passport, which I presented. And the lady looked at it and told me, "Unfortunately, sir, you're not in position to travel." I wanted to know why. And she told me that you have less than 4 months left on your passport. And to go to Zambia, you need at least 4 months. To be exact, I had about 2 months left on my passport. So she pulled out the book and placed it on the table for me to read. And I read it. It was so clear, but I could not believe. So I asked the lady, "Is there someone else I can speak to who might allow me to go?" And the lady told me, "No, but maybe my boss." I think she said that knowing the boss would not allow me to go. And so I asked, "Can I speak to him? Can I go and meet him?" And she told me, "No, you don't go to him, he comes to you." So I sat there as I waited. And I remember at that point I started praying. And I sent messages to some of my friends. Claire and I were not married at the time. But I sent a message and some other friends, and I told them that, "You know what? Stand with me in prayer that they would allow me to go to Zambia." I told this lady, "I'm on a mission, allow me to go." And you know, she was not allowing me. So I waited. The first hour went by, the second hour, people started boarding. I was like, "This is it." I just kept praying and wondering. Then the boss came. And she walked up to the boss. I could hear her speak to the boss. And she said, "This is the gentleman we're talking to you about." And the boss told her, "Just photocopy his passport and let him go." I stood there in disbelief. I was excited. I grabbed my passport and off I went. I knew God had performed a miracle for me. And so, when I got to Zambia, I was not disturbed at customs. I just went through and my friend was there, ready to receive me. So I went over to his place and he just shared with me what we're going to do in the next couple of days. And so he asked me, he told me that the next day we're just going to take it easy because it was going to be a long 2 weeks, busy 2 weeks. And so I decided to relax. Now, that day, I got hit by an illness. I had a fever, I was sweating, my joints were aching, I had a headache, and I was wondering, what is happening to me? And my friend told me that, "Brian, if this is malaria, you might just have to go back to Uganda, because that way you'll get treated, you know, like it's different for different regions." And I just kept thinking that, "God, I did not come all this way to fall sick." That night, I prayed to God and I asked God to help me. I asked him to heal me. I woke up at about 4 and I was sweating. I still had the headache. And I said, "You know what? I'm just going to pray off this illness." I prayed. After about an hour, I was tired. The headache had just increased. I was sweating. I said, "You know what? There is nothing I can do." I went to bed and I slept. When I woke up in the morning, God had completely healed me. And I was well. And I just want to read a verse for you. Psalm 34 verse 17 says, When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. God delivered me out of my trouble. God delivered the disciples out of the storm, the windstorm that they were facing. But God is not just a deliverer. God is also a protector. There are moments in our lives when God will protect us. Like God protected David from taking the life of Nabal after Nabal had mocked him. David had helped Nabal take care of his sheep while they were in the wilderness, while the shepherds were in the wilderness. And this man was mocking him. So David had decided, I'm going to take this guy's life. But God spared him from doing that. After Peter had told Jesus, you know what? I will never, deny you. And he kept, going. But Jesus told him that Satan has asked that he would sift you away, but I have prayed for you. God protected Peter from falling away. But God is not just our protector. He's also our sustainer. I don't know about you, but I've had moments in my life when I've prayed about certain things and they haven't gone away. I've continued, to struggle in those areas. When Paul prayed to God to take away the thorn, God did not take it away. God told Paul that my strength is sufficient. And I just want to read a verse. It says in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4, that even to your old age and gray hair, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Friends, God is more than able to protect us. But if for some reason he does not protect us, he's more than able to deliver us. But if for some reason he does not deliver us, then he's more than able to sustain us. His grace is sufficient. He will give us the ability to navigate those challenges that we are facing. And so, irrespective of what situation that you're facing, I just want to encourage you, just cry out to God because he's more than able to help you. There is nothing impossible with God. So, what are you going through right now? And you feel defeated. I just want to encourage you to have the same kind of faith that Bartimaeus had. When Jesus was walking, he kept crying out to Jesus, Son of David. He wanted Jesus to help him. And the crowds kept silencing him, but he kept shouting them more. And I just want to encourage you that even as you go through a storm, maybe people are saying different things against you, just keep crying out to God and God will deliver you. Amen. The next thing I'd like to share with us is we need to trust him. Verse 39 says, and he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Jesus had told his disciples that we are going over to the other side. But when the storm came, they actually forgot what Jesus had said. Jesus was not going to fail at his mission of going to deliver this demon-possessed person. But aren't we like this? I don't know how many times God has given me a word, and when the storm hit me, I somehow forgot what he said. And I believe the reason we get ourselves in that place is because we move our eyes from the promise that God has given us and we choose to fix our eyes on the storm that is waging against us. God would like us to trust him. The Bible tells us in Isaiah that God will keep him in perfect peace. He whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. God would like us to trust him with our challenges, to trust him with those problems that we have. So, what is it that is on your heart? What are you struggling with? I just want to encourage you that always remember to take that thing to God. We need to trust him. And trusting God does not have to be complicated. It can be as simple as meditating on his goodness, on his kindness, on his faithfulness. I think of the angels. They are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." And that alone pleases God. God wants for us to trust him. Now I know, as we walk through this journey, one of the things that is critical for us to do is for us to grow in our walk with the Lord. Our roots need to be deeply rooted in God if we are to withstand whichever storms come against us. We need to grow our faith to a point where even if God does not answer you the way you expected him to, you continue trusting him because of his unquestionable character. Because you know that there is nothing impossible with him. And as we go through a storm, it's important for us to watch the company that we are keeping. You need to guard against some of the things that you watch, some of the things that you hear, because if they don't speak life, that will cause your faith to crumble. God would like for us to continue just fixing our eyes upon him. So my question to you this morning is, what is your first go-to when you're faced with a storm? Do you Google the 10 best solutions to your predicament? Is it social media? Or do you just behave like an ostrich and you just sweep the issue under the carpet? I mean, when you look at the disciples, some of them, like I said, were sea masters, and they could have chosen to advise their friends, let's row the boat fast and get to the shore so that we can escape this storm. But they didn't do that. They instead put their hope and trust in Jesus, who delivered them. Amen? So you just need to take your heartache to God. I have an 11-month-old baby, Andrew. And one of the things that he enjoys doing with me is playing. I guess all babies like to play. So when I leave home in the morning, sometimes he will cry. It might even just be for 2 seconds, but he will cry. And when I get back, he's excited, and we play. So he will just come crawling to me, and I'll hold him and place him on my chest. And what he does is sometimes he will roll over to the left or to the right, and it's up to me to hold him. He does not care. He's like, I'll just roll anyway. And what do you do? As a good father, you hold him, right? And so I'll hold him. When he was about 4 months, he had reflux, and he used to cry a lot. And for some reason, every time that he was in pain, he didn't want the mother to hold him. He wanted me to hold him. And I would carry him until, you know, he would calm down. And one time, I just felt God speaking to me. And he was saying that, Brian, you know, shouldn't it be like that? That when you're having some kind of heartache, some kind of pain, you take it to the Father. And that just, you know, hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, that is what I need to be doing. Every time that I have a heartache, I need to go to God. Because God can handle anything that we throw at him. Amen. The first thing I spoke about was we need to cry out to God. The second thing I spoke about, we need to trust him. And the last thing I would like to talk about is we need to be still. Jesus demonstrated what being still is. When he heard about the death of his cousin, John the Baptist, Jesus was calm. When he heard about the death of his friend Lazarus, he was calm. As a matter of fact, he even stayed back for a few more days before he could go. When the soldiers came to arrest Jesus on that night that he had been betrayed, Jesus was calm. He even gave himself, they didn't know who they were looking for, and he's like, it's me. He was calm about the whole thing. Even in this situation, Jesus was calm. He awoke from his sleep, and he just said, peace, be still. Now, God is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. And that's why he was not surprised when this happened. He was still. One time I was coming from Europe to Toronto, and were hit by a turbulence. And I remember, you know, it will normally last between 10 to 15 minutes. But I remember for that specific one, it went on for about 30 minutes. I remember the pilot told us that fasten your seatbelts. And all I could hear was the trolleys and the trays that were banging against the plane, the light flickering. The plane was literally vibrating. And there was a little girl who was seated in front of me, and she kept crying. And the mom tried to comfort the little girl. Now, this was scary. It was just 30 minutes, but I think that was one of the longest 30 minutes of my life. I kept wondering, I'm like, what will Claire do without me? Well, I was going, like, I would go and meet Jesus, but, you know, like, in a way, I was feeling sorry for her. So, you know, I sat there, and when we landed, everyone was happy, you know, we started jubilating because we had landed safely. But what I learned from that instance was I was out of control. There is nothing that I could do. The pilot told us to fasten our seatbelts for our own safety. And I believe that sometimes God will ask you to be still for your own safety, because he knows that will keep you from getting into trouble. Being still is one of the hardest things I think you can do as a Christian. It is hard to just do nothing. But God would like for us to be still. As I come to an end here, one of the things that the disciples asked was, who is this that even the winds and the sea obey? And I believe the answer to this question is Jesus, the Savior of the world. That is the answer to this question. Jesus died on the cross so that he would have eternity with us in heaven. And maybe you're watching online, or even maybe you're here and you've never accepted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. I'd like to extend this opportunity to you. So with our heads bowed down, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, I'd like for you to just slip your hand up as a sign of faith. And I'd like for us all to repeat these words after me. Lord Jesus,
Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I acknowledge my need for a Savior. And I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Give me your Holy Spirit to live a life that honors you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. I'm going to just request us to stand on our feet. One of the things that God spoke to me this week as I was preparing for this message was that there are some lies, things that we have believed about ourselves. And I was blessed when we sang that song earlier on, talking about different lies, different doubts. I don't know which lies you have believed about God and about yourself, but some of the things that came to mind as I prayed, some of us have believed the lie that God is angry towards us because of something that we did. Some of you or some of us have believed the lie because you failed once, twice in a particular thing, it has made you think that you're a failure in life. Some of us have believed a lie that we're incapable of making a difference wherever God has placed us. Some of us have believed the lie that we are not in position to share the gospel. And I know there could be probably other lies that you have believed about yourself and about God. I just want us to take time right now and renounce those lies. Just go to the Father, just start renouncing some of those lies that you have believed about Him, about yourself. Father, we are sorry, Lord, for believing these lies about you and about ourselves, Lord. Right now, we just choose to lay them at your feet. We choose to bring those burdens to you, Lord, because they are not ours, Lord. Those are burdens that only you can carry, Lord. And so this morning, we just choose to bring that before you. If it's okay with you, and we are coming to an end here, I just want us to turn to groups of two, groups of three. The other thing I just felt God speak to me about this week was we just need to prophesy into one another's life. And there are just a few things that God was telling me to ask you guys to prophesy about, and that the fear of His name would capture our hearts. So just in groups of two, groups of three, let's just start prophesying into the other person. If it's okay with you, you can hold hands and prophesy that the fear of God would capture their hearts, that the love of God would fill them, that God would take them from glory to glory, that He would increase in them as they decrease, that there would be a vessel prepared to be used by God. Thank you.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.